This is Arcade Studio Podcast at the Skate and Surf Film Festival, and it's all powered by Frisco Skate Shop. We are here with Julian and Sophia of Pushing Dakar. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Really happy to have you guys here because I'm really interested in this project. So you guys went and filmed in Bangladesh, is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Beginning of this year, I spent a month there. And filmed a documentary.
Fantastic. And just run us through how that came about.
I'm working in like marketing agencies for the past few years. And beginning of COVID, I was kind of tired of working for like commercial brands and I wanted to do something good. And so I started Googling and researching on like skate NGOs because I skate. And then I came across the website of BSKA and I was like, it doesn't really look too trustworthy, to be honest.
One of those spam websites.
Yeah, so I got into it and looked up the project and it was super interesting. So I messaged Susie and I was like, if you need any help with like marketing or design or whatsoever, I can help you out. And that's how it started. And ever since I've been doing some of their branding and some campaigning and stuff like that. And then beginning of this year, I really wanted to go there myself and like meet Susie, meet the kids. And that's how it happened, basically.
Awesome. That's wicked. No, because they, you don't really imagine, you know, the South Asia as like a skating spot, you know, because when you see pictures of the place, they don't really have roads even, you know. So it's like, where are they skating?
And they don't even have shoes.
Exactly. Yeah. No shoes, no roads, no lots of people everywhere. Yeah. So I actually have known very little about the project.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. But like I was discovering now how there was like a collaboration. So like how are you involved in the project, Julian?
I'm a filmmaker from trade, and we did a lot of filming on holidays last few months before she went to Bangladesh, and it was like it's a waste to go there and not get some footage. In the beginning, we were thinking about doing some social media stuff and whatever, because all the material from there is mostly shit.
Yeah.
And then we thought, oh, it would be cool to have some stuff, and it kind of got more and more from there. And we bought her a little camera and a little road mic, got there, collected a lot of footage, and then we edited that thing down pretty fast, I think.
Oh yeah. How long was the process from when you started doing like the shots to the edit?
I think the part that took the longest was like looking through all the material, because it was a lot. But I think it was like 2 weeks or something till we had an edit. It was really fast.
Oh, wow.
And we also wanted to have the film ready for a year, because we really wanted to go to this festival.
Fantastic.
And so we kind of finished the sound mixing like last week or something.
Yeah, that's great. Like deadlines.
Yeah, that's a recurring theme in our podcast. How deadlines push creativity as much as they can, because without them, you really don't get anything done.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we need them. But so basically, you had the brief to just go out and shoot. Basically, you had like some people that you knew had to shoot?
Not even that, to be honest, because it's a really small NGO. So there's basically Susie, the founder, and then there's a few people working like from Bangladesh, working there on and off though. And I didn't know anyone really. I've been just having some calls with Susie before. So I flew there, and then when I met people there, I was like, it would be interesting to talk to you probably, and it would be interesting to talk to you. And also it was pretty hard because I couldn't talk to the people because they didn't speak English. Yeah. So I could only ask the questions to Susie, and then she would ask them. And only when we did when we had the translations, we knew what they actually said during the interviews.
Oh wow! So during the interview, you didn't know how, you had to like figure out how to like keep it going without knowing what was happening.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
That's pretty crazy.
Well, it's what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Like today. It's amazing.
It's still crazy how good the answers are, even if we did not understand it at first.
So. Yeah, and that you have. But now that you have this storyline that I didn't know we had when I was filming it, because there was no story at first.
The whole vibe of the documentary is basically through a person who's like never experienced that before. Yeah. So it's like for someone who is watching it as well, it must be like basically their eyes.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's like it's pretty interesting.
That's cool. It's very organic like that.
Super organic. And then how did you get into, just to go into like a bit of the background of you guys. So I'm going to keep on bouncing it back and forth. So you said you had a feature film in Germany?
Yeah. I had a lot of short films, all fiction before, and I made a feature film that was released in Spain 2020. And yeah, because of COVID, was bouncing around a lot on festivals. I wasn't there in person. And then it came out this year in Germany. And I mostly work in post-production now. But we started to do a little bit more like documentary style stuff on traveling. And I think it was a great opportunity to have such material, a chance to get that stuff.
And what was like one of the most interesting or unexpected responses? Like what you said, you got the translation back afterwards. So it was like, okay. And what was one of the most unexpected replies that you got from one of the interviews?
I think for me, it was not a specific answer. It was just the way the kids talk about situations that for us, they're not normal at all, like prostitution, drug trafficking, all these things. And they talk about it. Like, I went to the supermarket this morning and bought a Coke. Mm. Like, it's so normalized there. And I think that was what shocked me, how okay they are with it, because they don't know better.
Yeah. I think that's also what kind of moves me still when I watch the movie, that you see the children talk about more mundane stuff. For them, mundane, but for us, it's crazy. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
I can't even imagine how it is there. I mean, I've seen all the material. I heard you talk about it, but I think it does not even come close to how crazy that country is.
And when you say kids, how old are we talking about?
3 to 18, but okay. Like really young, like really, really young, being prostituted, or like being crippled by their parents to like be better and making money on the streets and
being
stuff.
Drug addicted.
Sniffing, huffing glue from like really young ages and like now. Yeah. All the fact ups that you don't want to imagine, really.
And like basically survival is just treating it as it's mundane, pretty much. You have to, I guess.
Yeah, and there's no like the goal or the main goal of the NGO is basically bringing the kids back from the streets to the slums. So seeing that the slums is the best option they could have for their lives, that's devastating, because the slums, it's really not a place worth living.
You want to grow up. And they're doing that through skateboarding, though.
Yeah, so they try to get the kids through skateboarding, but then also giving them food, giving them shelter, giving them some kind of a safe space, family space. And because the kids all grew up in like those situations of poverty, they're not all aggressive, but you know, they grew up in the streets. Yeah. They're not polite or anything. They need to do to like survive.
Yeah.
And to get by, and I think it's also just to re-socialize them a little bit and. Yeah, show them how important family could be and like friendships. And
yeah. It's funny because like when you think about it, like a lot of in the West, like a lot of people go into skateboarding to get into drugs and to get like into like a rebellious attitude. And then like in places like we were talking about, even like Surf Ghana.
Yeah.
And in Uganda, they have like all these projects, and like South Africa, they have a kind of, they have some projects, but it's like, it's totally the opposite. It's like how to get out of drugs and how to like become responsible and like how to like use it.
I think it's a happy medium, because where maybe we're too like clean and polished and everything. We need to get a little bit dirty. And so the skate and the, let's say, alternative sports scene is more like it's in the middle between the two things.
Mm.
So it's maybe, you know, we look at it like, holy shit, that's weird. But they're like, it's really like much better than what we're actually doing here. Yeah. But it does. It also, it brings community. It teaches skills, because, you know, I mean, how many skateboarders end up creating things? Not necessarily film or whatever, because maybe you don't do that in Bangladesh. But, you need a camera, you need something. But you learn to focus your skills on something.
And like finding spots, for example, as you said, it's like, it's really not a place to go skateboarding. Like there's not even concrete anywhere. So,
So you started skateboarding, and then you got into filmography or?
No, I really literally marketing. Got into filmography when I was in Bangladesh, I think.
Okay. It was like super new.
I basically learned using the camera while I was there. So.
We bought the camera a week before she went.
That's why I always say, I'm a photographer, I always say anybody can do our job. It's just like,
you're you just need a really good
subject and you're laughing. It's like, it's great. But then you also have a creative eye because you work in marketing and communication and stuff. Yeah. So it's not like you didn't come from anything. You knew what a composition was and whatnot. So yeah, it's definitely something there. But then, so you've been skating for forever? Like, is this something you've always done?
On off, yeah. Like, I started quite young and then I stopped for a few years and I started surfing and I'm basically surfing, skating on off. Yeah.
So you're in the perfect place.
Yeah, definitely.
So where are you balanced towards, like skateboarding or surfing in this moment? With the summer, maybe it's surfing. But
we just moved down the coast of Spain, so right now it's surfing because we can finally surf.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, there are not that many places in Spain to skate, actually.
Not where we are.
Yeah, because like you're on the they're on the coast.
Also, so not that much concrete.
Yeah, where are you in like Jerez, that area there?
Andalusia.
Yeah. Andalusia. Okay, cool.
And do you do something like board sport related or?
Well, I'm a really, really amateur skater, I think.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of that, a little bit of bowl skating last year, which was nice, but then we did not find a bowl ever again. Also a bit of surfing, but I was mostly not a sporty kid.
Yeah.
So this is all new for me, but I love it.
But what do you do like on the side? What's your hobby on the side?
I think I always was a filmmaker. Like that's my hobby and my profession in some kind of way.
So you were just like, as a kid, you were already doing like little movies and stuff.
Starting with stop motion with the, I don't know, my Legos and to like the home camcorder and whatever, everything.
Please tell me you still have those videos.
Like, I have a lot of them. Yeah,
you save everything. That's a documentary in itself. Like
maybe.
That was sick. Yeah, I think like, because obviously I'm guessing you, like you're from like around 80s, 80?
92.
Okay.
Okay, come on.
I'm sorry.
That,
okay. I was putting myself, and like, so you had access to those kind of cameras, like play, stop, wreck.
Yeah, still mini DV and stuff. So the digital stuff came later.
Save everything. Save everything. Because like, you know, that's going to be like something down the line, especially from the 90s.
You have your stuff from when you were doing stuff.
I don't have all the stuff.
Yeah.
No. I wish I did. Like everything, because we were born and raised in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so like all the stuff that I have, like my skate footage from there, I wish I had it. It don't have it anymore.
So you can see how shit you were.
Yeah, exactly.
But just I think it's totally important to bring it back. The democratization of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, that Sophia can pick up a camera and go to Bangladesh and make a documentary, even with good sound, that wasn't thinkable of in like the early 2000s or whatever. So that's great. I mean, there is so much opportunity, and I think for like also the skate scene and stuff to just go out and do stuff that wasn't possible.
And it brings out the stories like this one that, you know, would not have been seen otherwise.
Mm. No, definitely. Yeah, I was surprised how good the results were, to be honest. Like, I thought we could maybe make a 30-second promo clip,
like kind of,
and not a full documentary. Like,
it's cool. But and then, like, how long were you there for?
5 weeks.
5 weeks is a long time, because you really get into it then after.
It took me some time though to really get into it and to like kind of build up trust. Of course, it's not possible in a month, but those kids with those kids it's really easy actually to build up trust because they've got no one else giving them any kind
so they're like super interested. They actually opened up easily. Yeah,
definitely.
But which could have been really difficult actually, because like if you were talking about how everything is, they're like street kids, so like a trust issue might be very difficult to get through.
Definitely. And still, like looking back at it, I'm a bit sad that sometimes there are situations where I thought I would have liked to film it, because it's just, I think it's important that people see it, but it's also, it's rough, and like, especially for me not being used to like filming stuff, I don't want to, you know, like there's someone laying in the streets.
Stick a camera in their face. Exactly.
And also now looking back, like looking at the film, I'm still kind of happy that it tells a story of hope rather than just the sad side of it.
Because I mean, that's also a lot of the times, like you don't have to really show. You can, like, if you can kind of, there's like a human way of understanding, okay, that's like quite a crazy situation. So it's like, and especially now where everything, like in movies, like everything gets extremely exaggerated and like they can do pretty much everything with CGI or if like just for shock value. When you see a movie or a series or a documentary that doesn't show you everything and they kind of allude to it,
it
actually hits home, like especially like now.
I think you also sometimes see it in their faces. So there is like a part in the documentary where Susie is talking about how the children are prostituted and what they face there. And you look in her face and she's a strong woman, but you see that there is something broken.
Desperation. Is Susie, she's not from Bangladesh. She's
no, German. She's from the States, actually. From the States. Yeah, okay. But she's like living in Bangladesh on off on tourist visas because it's really hard. Like it's really hard to get a visa there. But yeah, she's like living part-time there, part-time LA.
And
what exactly are they, I mean, how are they using skate? Seeing as there are no spots, I don't think there are any skate parks.
There is actually. Yeah? There is one together with Wanderers Around the World. They built one in Dhaka, in the outskirts of Dhaka. There's the first. They're planning on building 10 more with UNICEF at the moment, but let's see. And there's a few street spots, let's say.
some streets.
You got to be really creative there. And there's a little bit of a scene building up slowly. And there's a few kids who are also good, like getting better and getting really good and watching skate clips all day. So it's really interesting because I think 10 years ago, Susie was probably one of the first people actually bringing a skateboard there. And it's a sport that is not really well known there. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you unlock potential because there's a lot of people. I mean, that's one of those things that, I don't know, there was a scientist that was talking about how, you know, if you have 3 billion people between Africa and Asia and you can unlock the potential of mathematics, whatever, skateboarding, filmmaking, anything, the world would only be a better place if everybody's working on the problems rather than just like 1 billion people working on it. So it's like the importance of bringing up these countries that with any means necessary, even if it doesn't seem like a lot, but just giving them a stable house for 3 months, even, you know, it's already like something that for a kid will live in their mind forever, you know, and also like the relationship that they build with other people. So like, if nothing else, that's the most important thing that can come out of a project like this. Mm. It's rad.
You know, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of sacrifice, I'm guessing.
So. Yeah, but I think for the kids also it's important because it gives them some kind of goal. Like they want to be a pro skater. Probably it's not going to happen for all of them, but I think it's the first time in their lives they're actually trying to get somewhere and they don't want to take drugs because they feel like they need to be healthy and fit. And like they have to have their routines and everything. And I think that's something they're just not used to because like what do they have to get up for in the morning? There's like...
There's going to be another day of...
Living crazy. In the streets.
Yeah, just living in the streets and just like never knowing what's happening. No, it's insane. And so like now, basically after, is today the first like day, this festival, the first time it's been projected? And now you're going to do like a little tour of projections?
Hopefully.
let's get it done.
We hope to get the movie in front of some eyes because also, of course, the idea is that people get to know the NGO and maybe some people out there think, oh, that's great, we want to help too, and maybe go there, be skate coaches for like a month or so. That would be the perfect outcome, I think.
Yeah.
So basically, like,
I was just thinking because Bangladesh is an interesting place. I mean, they've managed to the tourism in like Sri Lanka and in India is booming. It's rad. And Bangladesh is a little bit off the trails, even though it's not that much different, like as far as what you can see and stuff. It's a different country, but I mean, it's the same sort of culture, cool, interesting people, food is fantastic, you know? So people need to go. And like we were talking with Surf Uganda and Surf Ghana, it's like if you can start bringing some people in, you sort of create little niches of Nitenise Benessere.
Well-being.
And then from there, it'll spread out for sure. Be cool. So what do they need? They need coaches. They need boards.
they need everything. They need volunteers, they need coaches. They, if you get any sort of background in marketing and design, like really, it's such a small NGO. You can, if you have an idea, you can basically do everything there. I think that's also what was so cool for me there, because it was I could just try out a lot also, like in terms of working creatively.
Yeah, especially in communication as well.
No.
So I think so. Okay, we should maybe give some things out there. It's like some way, like tags to figure out like how people can help if they listen to this and they want to, like, obviously we have like a description link or whatever, but if you want to like push the NGO, the name, the Instagram tag, the website, please do like now if you want.
I think for now Instagram is a good start. It's Bangladesh at Bangladesh 3Kids8, really long name, but
we'll write it so people see it.
And then just if you want to participate, drop us a message, or on the website, drop us a mail. And as you said, I think it's important to get Bangladesh on the map, really, because I didn't know where it is and I didn't know what's happening there apart from like natural disaster and child labor.
Yeah, and cricket.
And there's
exactly.
There's more to
I'm
it.
I'm a fan. I'm a cricket fan. Sorry. and what are the next projects? What, have you got something in line? Are you fully invested in this at the moment?
I think for now it was a documentary, because like especially for me it's all new. I honestly didn't expect to like show it to people, like to public stranger people. Like,
after 2 weeks, and to be talking about it with two strangers on a podcast.
Yeah, so that's already. I'm super excited about that. But yeah.
Yeah, but I think we are still on the search for new topics to make. Maybe our work a little bit more documentary focused, work together more, and looking forward to that.
And definitely organize like a presentation, like a workshop on how to do a documentary in 2 weeks. that could be something really interesting, actually.
You could come to my masterclass.
Yeah. Have a masterclass, and we'll have a link for that in a Patreon. And all the proceeds will go to the NGO, obviously.
You said that.
Yeah, I said that. I didn't want to put it on there.
You did live. Hang on a second.
I didn't want to put it on there. No, cool. So, I think...
That's it.
And thank you very much. It was really cool. I hope it was like cool for you guys as well, like talk about it.
Definitely.
Thanks for the opportunity. And also, so we have another possibility to share the project a bit. It's great.
Absolutely. We're going to put all the links to the project down below. If you can send them to us, we'll just grab them from the production
from the
companies. Cool. So...
I have to close it up now. This is gonna be, thank you, Julian and Sophia. This has been Arcade Studio Podcast. I'm getting good at this. Skate and Surf Film Festival powered by, the podcast is powered by Frisco Shop. And thank you very much. Keep on doing like amazing work. It's cool.
And remember to subscribe, everybody. We need it so we can help everybody else.
And put all the proceeds to the NGO. Exactly. I said that twice now. Okay.
Cool, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Ciao. Cheers.